You don't have to put it on the group. You just put it in an email. Send me the link and I'll get it.
Okay. First of all, I just wanted to mention that the Shia tonight is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, as a tefillah for Refuah Shleima. Everybody, all the sick people who are in need of Refuah Shleima in our community and beyond, especially one of our regular Thursday night participants, David Petrushka. His father is quite ill with the disease. His name is Yaakov Ben Rachel. His mother, Ita Bas Shifra, is a little better, but also they're all in need of Refuah Shleima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant everybody who is in need of Refuah Shleima, Refuah Shleima Bekarov Mamish.
Amen.
I thought that given the fact that we're unfortunately unable to spend time in shul these days, that it would be an appropriate thing to talk about what the proper respect, the kavod for a shul is, the kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, because maybe when we're not there, we can focus a little more on what things should be like when we are there. And then, Bez Hashem, when we come back, we'll be able to have a greater appreciation. That, plus the fact that we find in our tradition, sometimes when a person is unable to participate in a certain mitzvah, so you can learn about that mitzvah instead, and it takes the place of the mitzvah in a certain sense. For example, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Menachos that a person, since we can't bring karbonos today, a person can study the dinim of the karbonos, and in a certain sense, we can say the psukim of the karbonos like we do with Davar Musaf, and in a certain sense, that takes the place, that becomes a fulfillment of the mitzvah of bringing karbonos. So the Gemara mentions, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that when Purim lands on Shabbos, according to our calendar here, Purim never lands on Shabbos, but Shushan Purim can land on Shabbos. Next year, that happens. In Yerushalayim, Shushan Purim is on a Shabbos. So we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos over there for the same reason we don't take the Lulav when Sukkot lands on Shabbos, when Opal Shofar, when Shushan lands on Shabbos, which also is this coming year. So instead, the Gemara mentions that people should study the Dinim of Megillah instead of reading the Megillah. We have that in different places. That's a question whether it applies to everything or just to Karbonos, but on the side that applies to everything. So I thought tonight, we can talk about Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. We're not able to go into the Beis HaKnesses right now, but we should learn a little bit about the importance of the Beis HaKnesses. I may suggest that people should mute unless you have a question, until you have a question. Or if you have a question, you can unmute, but maybe until we have a question, you should mute. Anyway, so we'll start. We'll learn about the cover for Beis HaKnesses and the concept of the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. We can't go into the Beis HaKnesses right now. In this week's Sedra, Parshas Pekudei, if you have the sources, the first of the sources is Shmos Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Mem Gimel. The pasuk says, "Vayar Moshe es kol amlocha v'nei osel osa kasher tziva Hashem kein osa v'ayvorcho som Moshe." Moshe, after seeing what had been done in terms of the collection and all the materials needed for the Mishkan and the building of the Mishkan, Moshe ben saw that everything was done exactly as Hashem had commanded, and Moshe gave them a bracha. So the pasuk seems to have say that they fulfilled everything as they were commanded. So the Tosefta Menachos, Parag Zayin Halacha Beis, the second source, Harei Omer Vayar Moshe es amlocha v'nei osel osa kasher tziva Hashem. Putting this pasuk, Omer, Hechon Tzivo, where exactly was the commandment? What do you mean they did it exactly as they were commanded? Where was the commandment? The Tosefta answers, well, the commandment was at the beginning of Parshas Trumor. It says, well, Asuli Mikdosh. I printed those psukim in Source 3. Shmos Parakof Hey, Pasuk Ches, also the Mikdosh Shachanti Besocham, and Pasuk Tes, Kechola Shani Mareos Ches, Tavnisa Mishkan Vestavis Kotel Bechain Tasu. You should do everything in terms of the appearance of the Mishkan, the appearance of the different Kalim, and so on. Everything should be structured the way exactly as I commanded. That's how you should do it. And again, it opens the Asuli Mikdosh. So it's interesting, both in those two psukim over there in Parshas Truma, and in the Pasuk here in this week's Sejan Pekudei, we seem to have extra words. It says, again, look back at source one, Moshe saw v'nei osu osa kasher tziva Hashem. They did it. Osu osa. They did it as Hashem had commanded. And it says again, kain osu. You just said osu kasher tziva. I have to say again, kain osu. And in the tzivu, it says the same thing. We're osuli mikdash in source three, parakaf hei, pasuk ches, we're osuli mikdash. And then it says again at the end of the next pasuk, v'chein tasu. Also, v'chein tasu means the same thing. So why does the Torah have to repeat? They should make it. They should make it. They should do it. They should do it. It says it twice, both when it was commanded and when it was fulfilled. So Moshe Alshech, the Alshech in this week's Sedjan Pekudei, in Source 3, says that there are really two parts to the tzivu. He mentions the extra phraseology in both places. And he says that really they were commanded two things. Shnei Dvarim in the second line of four, if you have it. The Asul Mikdash and the Shachati B'Tzocham. There were two things. They had to build the physical structure, but they also had to do it in such a way that they should be they should deserve that Hashem Shina should indeed come reside within the walls of the Mishkan. Two things. They should build it physically and they should spiritually be Ra'i L'Kach. That's and therefore the pasuk says in the beginning and at the end, they taka built it physically the way they're supposed to, and they were worthy of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah coming down. The Netziv and the Hamek Dover in Source 5, also in our parsha Shmos Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Men Gimel, says the same idea. To be honest, that's how I came to it. The Tosefta Menachos Perek Zion, and it says the double language is both things. That was a tzivoy, they should do it in this fashion, and that we should be ro'uyhu la'ashuras hashchinah, the place, and we should be deserving of the ashuras hashchinah. So that's the mitzvah. In other words, the bottom line is there is a mitzvah.
Sorry, Rabbi Travis, I'm trying to interrupt. Can the people who are not on mute, there's two people not on mute, and it's creating a lot of back noise.
Oh, okay. Okay, so people can simply mute. There's a button at the top right, or somewhere there's a button to mute it. Okay. Okay.
There you go. Thank you. Somebody just muted themselves who was not muted. I think we're good now. Thank you.
So what I'd like to look at now is this mitzvah, this commandment to go ahead and indeed build a Mishkan and a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Dav Chaf Amud Beis, in Source 6, Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Omer Shalosh Mitzvahs Nitztavu Yisrael B'Chnisos La'aretz. There were three mitzvahs that Jewish people were commanded to fulfill upon entry into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi right away in Source 7 says that there are many more than three mitzvahs, right? They'd have to start keeping all the mitzvahs tfilis ba'aretz, right? The Shemitah and Truma and all that. But what it means is these particular mitzvahs had to be done in this particular order, Rashi says, La'asos and Kisidron. And all of these are mitzvahs which says had to do with the Yerusha and the Yeshiva, inheriting the land and dividing up the land and so on. I would say national mitzvahs as opposed to personal mitzvahs. And what are they? Going back to Source 6, Lahamid Lohem Melech, to appoint a king. Two, Lahachriz Zarah Shal Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, which we spoke about for a time. And the third is Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechira, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So these are three mitzvahs, and the Torah calls building the Beis HaMikdash a mitzvah. Indeed, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs HaSeichov, Source 8, states openly, HaMitzvah Esri, Mitzvah 20, is Shetzivonu Livnos Beis Avoda. We have to build literally a house of worship, a house of service to God, right? Bo Yaha Krova Vavar Seish Tom. There we're going to bring all the carbonus and the fires are going to burn. And there are the places where we'll go for the Shalosh Regalim, Aliyah Regal, and so on. And that's the Pasuk Vasili Mikdash. And he quotes this Gemara as well. So the Rambam counts this as one of the regular 613 mitzvahs to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Chinuch as well. Sefer Chinuch too. In Source number 9, in Parshas Truma, mitzvahs binyan Beis HaMikdash. Livnos Bayis L'Shem Hashem. Klomar Shinam Akrivim Shom Karbonos Oilov. There are the places which will bring the Karbonos. And it will go for Lili Regal. So both the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Chinuch in his list of mitzvahs count building a Beis HaMikdash as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. The Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Parak Halach Halaf, Source 10, mitzvahs esay liv lasos bayis lashem, muchon lios markibo karbonos, v'chogin elav shalosh pan vashon, etc. Shnemar v'osu l'mikdash, and ukranis parash patorah, mishkan shosam moshe rabbeinu v'hoi l'fisho. All the details we read in back on Pekudei, this week's sedras, and Truman Tetzavah a couple of weeks ago, that was all temporary. The Mishkan obviously was intended to be a temporary facility, and a permanent facility would be the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Later on, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Alav Halach Alav, the Gemara Rambam again quotes this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shalosh Mitzvahs, Nitzavu Yisrael, three mitzvahs to appoint the king, to wipe out Amalek, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. There he quotes a different pasuk. It's an interesting observation. In Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam quotes a different pasuk as the source of building the Beis HaMikdash, not the pasuk of Vasili Mikdash, but rather a pasuk in Parshas Re'e that I printed in 12, came out of a Perek Yud Beis of Dvarim, pasuk A. That's the place you should seek him out and come over there. Okay, that's a shiur for a different time. Why the Rambam quotes a different pasuk? I once spoke about that. It's two different aspects of the Beis HaMikdash, not for now. Bottom line, there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, that is no doubt. Now, it's interesting that I don't usually quote so much from the Zohar, but I'll quote it over here. Source 13, the Zohar in Parshas Noso says, and look, listen to this word. The Zohar says every Beis HaKnesses, every shul, is called a mikdash. And if that's the case, one can extrapolate that just like there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah, at least to some extent, to build a shul also. Every shul is called a mikdash. And indeed, even without the Zohar, that's a concept that emerges from a Gemara in Maseches Megillah, based on a Pasuk in Yechezkel 14, Pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tazayin. Let's remember, Yecheskel was a Navi who was in Babel. He came to Babel even before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. 11 years before the destruction of first Beis HaMikdash, Yecheskel came to Babel and he prophesied there. And so he was talking to the Jews who were living in Babel. And it says in Perek Yud Aleph of Yecheskel, Pasuk Tezayin Lachain, Komar Emor, tell the people, Hashem said, Komar Hashem Elokim, Kirchatim Bagoyim V'chafitzosim Baratzos, even though I've taken the Jews and scattered them far away in the various lands, but I will be like a mikdash ma'at. Mikdash ma'at means a miniature version of the mikdash. That's what Rashi says over there in 15, perk in Pasuk Yecheskel, perk it off was a design. The mikdash had lebote knishta, referring to the Beis HaKnesses. And in the Mitzvot David, in the next verse explains on that same Pasuk, he says, people thought, and you can imagine, people thought they're living in Babel, so far away from Eretz Yisrael, there's no more Beis HaMikdash. They may have thought, okay, we have no more means of connecting, unfortunately, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking out for us. He's scattered us far away, and maybe we have no opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, this pasuk comes to tell the people, no, I'll still ashre shchinasi b'batei haknesiyos shalahem. Mitzvah David says, Yecheskel is told to tell the people, don't worry, I will bring my shchina to their shuls. Okay, and even though they're far away from the mikdash, nevertheless, these places, these shuls, will be a mikdash ma'at. And that's what the Gemara says in Megillah Chav Tesam and Aleph 17. Vo'ayel lahem le'mikdash ma'at, Amar B'Yitzhak, Elu batei knesios u'batei midrashah shebe'bavel. That pasuk, mikdash ma'at, that phrase, miniature base of mikdash, refers to the shuls and the batei midrash in Bavel. And not only Bavel, then they were living in Bavel. It means outside.
So why did he specify Bavel? Why did he say that there?
Yeah, because I think that's because where they lived at that time. The Gemara is written in Bavel. So Rav Yitzchak was talking to the people there. That's all.
I think
it means anywhere.
Okay.
Even outside of Bavel. This was written to the people in Bavel. But it doesn't only mean Bavel. There are other places in Chazal, based on Psukim, that we also find that a shul, every Beis HaKnesses, whether it's in Babel or in Tinek, is referred to as a Mikdash Me'at. The Pasuk in Parshas B'chukosai, in the Tochacha, Vayikra Perakov, Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, 18, V'nosati es harechem chorba v'hashimosi es mikdashechem. I will lay waste your batei mikdash. And the Sifra over there, the Tarskanim there, and the Sifra Parsha Beis Parakvav in Osdalad 19 says, it says, Mikdash Shechem comes to include Lirabos Bate Knesios U Bate Midrashos. Again, Mikdash, Mikdash Shechem means your Bate Knesios, your shuls as well. And if this is the case, then one can perhaps argue, as we'll see in a moment, some do, that there is actually a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm sorry, that we saw for sure. I mean, a mitzvah to build the Beis HaKnesses. There's a mitzvah, not just Stam. There's a mitzvah. And in fact, there's a Rashi seems to say, there's a Pasuk Koheles, an interesting Pasuk, source 20, Koheles, Parakei, Pasuk Tes. It says there, Oev Kesev lo yisba Kesev. Okay, that's a truism. Someone who loves money never has enough money. Okay, Gamza Havel. Whoever wants so much never is satisfied. But the Chazal understood it. Rashi understood it's not referring to kesef, cash, money, but rather mitzvahs. Oh, if mitzvahs leisba mehem. Someone who loves mitzvahs can never get enough of them. Someone who loves mitzvahs will never be able to get enough of mitzvahs. Right? Umehev b'amon mitzvahs rabos lo suwa. And ain be'achar mitzvah mesiyamis in yikaris go binyan beis hamikdash u beis haknesses. He gives an example. Binyan beis hamikdash and beis haknesses. Based upon this, the Avnei Nezer, the Sacher Tshuva Rebbe, in his Tshuvas, Chelek Or HaChaim Siman Mem Beis, Osei and Vav, they're printed in source 22. He discusses whether it's takeh mitzvah. The issue he's actually talking about is, can you have a non-Jew work on building a shul on Shabbos? We know as a general rule, you're not supposed to have a Jew do work for you on Shabbos. Okay, but b'makom mitzvah, there are certain leniencies. When it's a mitzvah involved, once in a while, you know, it's a mitzvah of the tzibur, the lights went out, and so the air conditioning, something like that. So there's certain leniencies. We don't need to go into that in detail now, but they're discussing about building a shul. So he says, in the context of that discussion, Osei 22, behine binyan beis haknesses shu gufa mitzvah. Building a shul is a mitzvah. And lechor yidcha shustam yalachi should override the prohibition of asking a goy to do work on Shabbos. But then he says,
Rabbi Tavis, does saying it is a mitzvah mean that it was a mitzvah before the Chorban?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Probably not, because the Beis HaMikdash superseded. However, there were, we know, the Anshei Mamad, there were in local communities, that, you know, Jews who davened at a certain time when the korbanos were being brought, even the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's an interesting question. Could be that even when the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was still an inyan to have a Beis HaKnesses in locations where Jews got together. They had a minyan and so on and said certain psukim, you know, as the Mishnah. So it's a good question. I don't know. Didn't see that discussed directly. Now, however, the Adnezer is of the opinion in the second part of 22 Ozvov, Achze'eno de binyan Beis HaKnesses mitzvah d'rabbanan. He holds, and I'll answer your question, he'll hold that it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not a mitzvah d'oraisa. But he notes in a footnote that's printed in 23 that even though that we have a range of opinions actually among the commentators, he quotes among Avram that he says a building a Beis HaKnesses is not a mitzvah at all. It's just rak tzorech trila. You have to have a place to daven, samele, you have to build a shul. It's what we might call a hechsher mitzvah. You have to have a sukkah, so you have to build a sukkah. Okay, not that it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. You have to have a shofar, so somebody's got to get the horn from the animal, clean it out, make a shofar. That's how the Avnezer says the name of the Magen Avraham. And he says there's some sources like that based on a Ramban, which we'll see in a second. But does mention that Rashi Kohela seems to sound like it's a real mitzvah because he compares it to building a Beis HaMikdash. So that seems, there seems to be a range of different opinion on that shaila. The Ramban that he's referring to, I printed in 24 in the Chiddush Ramban in Megillah Daf Chaf Hamad Beis, in his Chiddushim, he says Lefi Mashashanim Mishasenu and so on. He says a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha, but it's in the category, says the Ramban, of Tashmishay Mitzvah. See the second line there, Tashmishay Mitzvah Lulav Sukkah. It's like a lulav, it's like a sukkah. We need it, it's important, but it doesn't have inherent Kedusha. Okay, and that's going to become relevant to us in a moment. In other words,
his big nafkamin is there, whether or not you could sell a shul, things like
exactly
that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The number of nafkamin is, well, let's say a sefer Torah or a pair of tefillin, that has inherent kedusha. That has inherent kedusha. Okay, but lulav doesn't have inherent kedusha. It's a tashmishay mitzvah. It's used for the mitzvah on sukkahs. Same thing with the sukkah. That's why when the holiday's over, technically speaking, you throw it out. Okay, so we don't throw it out, you know, with the chicken bones and the banana peels in a disrespectful way. You wrap it up and something. But strictly speaking, throw it out. Some people save the lulav till Erev Pesach, and they burn it to make the fire for the chametz. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but anyway. But that's what a shul is like according to the Ramban. Okay, and they don't have the same kedusha and afterwards. Okay, they have covered somehow, but not the same kedusha. And this may actually be an interesting. So, but the Avnezer hold that it's a mitzvah, albeit a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So, kind of like a middle status. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but it's not just a hechsher mitzvah either. The Minchas Elozer, another great Hasidish Rebbe, Talmud Chacham.
Elozer, say it the right way.
I'll say the right way. The Minchas Elozer, a minkach, says in the Chelek Dalad, Simon Lamed Ches of his tshuvas, he has a tshiva, he writes as follows. And he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is in the very end of Peah. Remember, it's at the very end of Masechet Peah, Perek Ches, it's 425. He talks about two Amoraim were walking, and they came past a certain building. It was a beautiful shul. And one of them said, Rav Chama Bar Chanina said to Moshe, Kama Mamon Shika Vo Saikan. My ancestors sunk a lot of money into this. And they're the ones who put up this beautiful structure, this beautiful shul. He's very proud of it. The other rabbi knocked them down a few pegs, and he said, they cost a lot of lives. What do you mean? What is it? So the Mepharshim explained, and Pnei Moshe and others explained, they should have given the money to Tzedakah. We'd have to sink money into building this, spending so much money to build a fancy shul. There are other things they could have done with their money. It wasn't right. Could be that that's the machlokas. In other words, if you hold that building a shul is taka mitzvah, a mitzvah d'rabbanan or certainly a mitzvah d'oraisa, so then it's proper to do it in as beautiful a fashion as far as possible. If it's only, and he wouldn't have said, you could have spent your money on some other mitzvah. This itself is a mitzvah. We said, the other mitzvah is true, but this is a mitzvah. But if you hold it's not really a mitzvah, it's only like a heksher mitzvah, the way that's what the Minchas Elozer wants to say, okay? And he dismisses that Rashi from Koheles and so on. So if that's the case, then it was right that they probably should have spent this money on something which was really a mitzvah. So the Minchas Elozer concludes that it's perhaps that it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. But in any event, by the way, the Rambam's position is subject to some discussion. If you look in the Rambam in 28, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Vilchus Tfilah, the Rambam writes as follows, Kol Mokom Sheyesh Po Asara Miyisrael, any place where there are 10 Jews, any community, Tzarech Lohachin Lo Bayis, they have to set up a building, Sheyich Tensu Bo Lotfilah, they go Davin B'choleis Tfilah, and Mokom Zeh Nikor Beis HaKnesses. That's a shul, that's a Beis HaKnesses. So someone of the Medayik, the Rambam doesn't hold that it's a mitzvah. If there are 10 people, you have to do it, but it sounds like it's only for the purpose of Tfilah, it's in a category of a Hechsher mitzvah. But I saw quoted in a Sefer, by Rabbi Warman from Queens, Shlomo Warman, in I forgot which sefer, a number of different Svarim, but I saw he quoted, he was close to Moshe Feinstein's Galavacha, and he quoted from Moshe. He said, no, you see from the Rambam that he holds it is a mitzvah, because otherwise what would he have to say it for? Obviously, if there are 10 people in a place of Davids, they got to find a place, a building of Davids.
I think what Moshe said, Rabbi, it says Kofin. It's clearly that it says Kofin. So it's
yeah, that means the tax they collected. So that's how Moshe was Medayik, and that's what he said. So the Rambam position you can discuss. It's an interesting thing. You could see this happening too. Look at 29. Based on this machlokas, whether it's real mitzvah or not, so the Shari Tshuva on the page in the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Chav Gimel, it's got this, in the Shulchan Aruch, not the Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Yonah, the Achron, on the page in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, it tells a story, Shabbano Beis HaKnesses, Bekila Kadosh Amsterdam, when they built a brand new shul in Amsterdam, Dorash Harav L'Chinucha, they had a big, big Chanukah Sabayis, a big dedication ceremony. You know, lots of people and drushes and so on. So the rabbi who was there said that the chazan should say Shechiyonu. Okay, on this wonderful occasion, built a beautiful new shul. Rav Echor Cholakalov. There was another rabbi there said, no, you're not allowed to say Shechiano. We can see that happening today, no? Right? It would be a get together. One rabbi would pass in this way. The other would say, no, it's not right. Okay, that's what happened. Then, the Shari Tshuva says, I agree with the second rabbi. We shouldn't say Shechiano. Maybe it revolves around the same question. If you hold that it's actually a mitzvah, so then you can say Shechiano. If it's a Hechsher mitzvah, you wouldn't. Now, either way, whether it's a mitzvah or not, certainly we've seen that there is a special status that every shul has, when it's technically a mitzvah to build it, daraisa, darabanan, hechsher mitzvah. So we saw different opinions. But certainly, from one perspective, it's considered to be like the mikdash. So we find one of the dinim that applies to the Beis HaMikdash is a din called mora mikdash. We have to have fear, or more correctly, reverence for the place, for the mikdash. The pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, Yikra Perik Yutas Pasuk Lamed, the identical pasuk in Parshas Bahar, Perik Vav, Yikra Perik Pasuk Beis, Esham. There's a Mora Mikdash. And the Rambam explains in Mitzvah Sesei Chof Aleph 32, HaMitzvah Chof Aleph Shetzivonu Lira Min HaBayis HaZeh. We have to have awe and reverence for this place. And be very, very concerned about it, that we should feel a sense of fear almost. That's Mora Mikdash. And he quotes this pasuk. The Chinuch as well, in Mitzvah Reish Nun Dalet 33, says the same thing, that there's this mitzvah to fear the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, comes along the Sefer Yerayim, 34, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, Sefer Yerayim says in Simon Tov Tes, or the old edition, Shin Chav Dalet, Mora Mikdash, look what he says. The Yerayim, again, he's one of the Balei HaTosfos, and he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs called the Sefer Yerayim. Yerayim is Meram, is his name, Rabbi Reish Aleph Mem, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz. Okay, so he writes, the Yerayim, Lekecha Tziva, Behikaneis Adam LeMikdash, O Bebeis HaKnesses, O Lebeis HaMedrash, Shehineg Behem Mora Bekibud. And he quotes the pasuk. The Urayim lumps Beis HaKnesses together with Beis HaMikdash with regards to the mitzvah of having proper reverence and respect for the place. And he quotes the pasuk Mikdashi Tiro, and he says, not only talk about the Mikdash, lo mi Mikdashi Atarei ala Mishay Hizir ala Mikdash. It's really reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And it says, and we see, and it quotes some of the sources we saw, Motzino Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash Shenikru Mikdash. The Tanya quotes that pasuk Kaktimosh Ashimosu Mikdashaychem, and he quotes the Gemara Megillah about Mikdash Me'at. So we see that clearly, says the from the Urayim, that there's a mitzvah to have proper awe and reverence of Yira and Kavod for a shul, the same way we have in the Beis HaMikdash. And he counts this, again, this is the Urayim talking in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, which lists mitzvah midoraisa. So he holds midoraisa. There's a concept of mora for Beis HaKnesses. The smag, Sefer HaMitzvahs Gadol, and Mitzvah Sesei Kuf Samad Val 35 says the same thing. The gam bebotei kneisios ubate midrashot tzarech mora v'kibud. And a noginum kalos rosh and so on. So he counts it as well. So does the Sefer Charedim. A little later, the Sefer Charedim is in the early Achron period. In Mitzvah Zasei Perak Aleph Osiotes, some versions Perak Tes Osiotes, he writes Leos Beis Hamikdash more of a kavod and kavod rosh. You have to have seriousness. The Emas Hashem Yisparach, recognize the fear of God who's dwelling in this place. And he says not only that, but he quotes that Sifra, that Torah's Kanim. Le rabos, but they can see us as well. Again, the Gemara in Megillah, right? You're not allowed to fool around and goof around in shuls and so on. And he quotes that Zohar that I mentioned. Again, that's where I found the Zohar, based on the Sefer Charedim. He quotes that Zohar that includes Beis HaKnesses. And he says that therefore every Beis HaKnesses also. And he says, Shnei chachamim mekubalim gedolim b'dorenu pasku adirei saknes legamrei rak b'divrei Torah Yiras Hashem. There are two great chachamim here, the Sefer Charedim, who lived in the time of the Arizal and the mekubalim in Tzfat. He says there are two great talmidei chachamim who would never talk about anything in shul other than divrei Torah. and they are Chacham Shalom Moshe Cordovero and Chacham Shalom Yitzchak Ashkenazi. Yitzchak Ashkenazi is better known to the world today as the Arizal. Arizal. Some say the Aleph Rishon is Ashkenazi from Yitzchak. Okay, some say Eloki, the godlike Yitzchak, whatever it was, but it's called Yitzchak Ashkenazi. So the Arizal did not talk in Shul. Not, and look what he writes. And not just to talk during davening. Even when it wasn't Zman of Davening, he was inside the Shul, meaning in this what we call the sanctuary, he wouldn't talk about anything but the very Torah. Even when that, obviously he didn't talk during davening. But even when there's no davening, Afilo Shalom B'Shas HaTfilo. Right? Even when it's not Shas HaTfilo. Okay, because this is the place where the Shekhinah is found. And so therefore he spoke in Shul. Forget about that. He didn't talk about nonsense during davening. Even when davening was over, okay, or before davening, he was the only one, a couple people in the Shul. He would not talk about anything else. And then he quotes one other source, okay, which we'll get to in a second. But look what he says, unfortunately. He says, you know, we should learn in this regard a little bit from Ha'amim, Ha'om Deves Tiflosam, Tiflosam, Sha'om Deim Bekilmim. He said, in this regard, maybe we have to learn from non-Jews. Sometimes, I don't know if it's always true, but sometimes with non-Jews, you see them in their house of worship and it's silent like a pin drop. And so sometimes shuls are a lot noisier than that. So the Haredim says, Sefer Haredim writes, maybe in this regard, we have to take a lesson from other people who other nations, when they go to their service, they're very, very quiet. The Maharik, also in the late Rishonim, in Simkuf Samach Aleph, also quotes the parallels between shul and Beis HaMikdash in terms of giving charity and the dovers to the shul. He says, Roy Lidamos, Nidvas Beis HaKnes, Lidvas Velecham, Elechaz HaMishkan. And he also quotes some of these sources that every shul is considered like a mikdash ma'at. And then he says, for example, that's why you're not allowed to do anything to destroy the physical property of a shul. He mentions two things. One is you're not allowed to destroy anything in the shul for the sake of destructing, aside from other people's property. It's a slap in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, he refers to it, in 38, the Pasuk says in Re'ei, Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Beis Gimel Dal. The Torah tells us in the commentary to Israel, Abei Tabdunus Kolma Komasar Avdu Shama Goyim. We're supposed to wipe out all the places that the Goyim did Avodah Zarah there. Fine. And we're supposed to break up their houses of worship. However, then it says a strange pasuk dalet in 38, Perikud Beis Adoram pasuk dalet. Lo sasum kein l'ashem alokeichem. Don't do that, Takarish Baruch Hu. Don't do what? Don't do. So Rashi, the Chumash quotes, Dover acher pasuk dalet. And then he taught them as b'chosam, v'barat them as shmam, lo sasum kein, azhara l'mochik as Hashem. Now I'm going to erase the name of Hashem. Ula no seitz even min ha'ezbech min ha'azhar. To break, imagine God comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he goes to the coast somewhere, he wants to keep a souvenir. So he breaks off a small piece of stone, puts it in his pocket. Who's going to notice, right? He has a souvenir in his house in the Beis HaMikdash. Not allowed to do it. Not allowed to break that. Not allowed to do it. That's a sifrei in Pisgah Samech Aleph in Parshas Re'eh, 40. Minayim anotetz even achas menahechom is beach. Will be the Azoros, no matter where in the Beis HaMikdash it is. You're over in a losa, I said, because it is pasuk.
Now, Rabbi, what about from a shul? Like, you know, on the Lower East Side, some shuls were knocked down, and my in-laws took some bricks from a shul. Like, I have from Rabbi Ashri's shul. I have bricks that I have here. They think they took them as like a
right. So there, when the shul's been destroyed, we'll see shortly. Maybe it makes a difference. The shul's been destroyed. Okay, the building being destroyed. We're here talking about a shul that's functioning.
Right.
The Mordechai in Megillah, we just lost the sources. Okay, the Mordechai, I'll say outside. The Mordechai in Megillah, I'm back on. Okay, in the fourth parak, and remember, tough chav vav. Writes that just like we're not allowed to destroy some things from the Beis HaMikdash, same thing with the shul, the Mikdash Ma'at also. We're not allowed to take and break anything again, unless it's a breaking for the purpose of fixing it. Sometimes you have to knock something down to fix it. That's a different story. But the same thing would apply to a Beis HaKnesses. And it's not just the Mordechai. The Rambam himself, in Mitzvahs Lo Sa'aseh Samechei, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he writes, she says, he run on me totes u'ma'abe bote avodah sakel. You're not to destroy anything from any house of worship. That's in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Then there's something else in 43 called the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam had two things. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is in detail, every mitzvah in detail. He had a shorter list, sometimes they call it the Minyan HaKotzer. It's printed as an introduction, usually to the Mishnah Torah. He has the same list of mitzvahs, following the exact same order that he had in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but it's a one-liner. It just says what the mitzvah is. It doesn't go into any detail. In the Sefer HaMitzvah, tells you the mitzvah, then it goes into detail. Who has to do it, and where you can find the Gemaras about it, when it applies, and whatever else. But in the Minyan HaMitzvah, Minyan HaKotzer, he just has a short version. So there it says, look at Samechei, it's the same thing, same number, because it's the same order. 43, Shalom, Abe Beis HaMikdash, Obote Knesio, Obote Mendoza, even a Beis HaKnesses, not allowed to destroy. So that's one thing that Marik brings as a raya, that a shul has Kedusha parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. Then he also brings a raya from Pasuk in Ezra, which we talked about a few weeks ago. The Pasuk in Ezra, Parak Tess, Pasuk Tess indicates that the Beis Hamikdash Leromeim is Beis Elokeinu. It should be a tall, high building. Remember, we discussed this Gemara a few weeks ago. Shabbos Yud Aleph Amar Aleph 45. Amar Rabba Machasi Amar Rucham Amar Guria Amar Rab. Kol Ir Shegagosel Gavam Beis Hakneses Losof Charava. Shemar Leromeim is Beis Elokeinu. Shul is supposed to be the tallest building in town. If you want to hear why we don't necessarily follow that? So again, I spoke about it a few weeks ago. I think it was recorded. You can check it out. We don't exactly follow it. But by the way, Mahabdu, you drive up on a mountain someplace, you always see these little villages. The church is always the tallest building, right? You always see these people of the church. That's what shul is supposed to be. And it's based on a pasuk, Leromeim Beis Elokeinu. One second, Leromeim Beis Elokeinu, the pasuk in Ezra is talking about the Beis HaMikdash. What do you say? No, it's also part of the tziva for shul as well. The Chai Adam writes in Klal Yud Zayin, Chelek Aleph, Klal Yud Zayin, Tziv Vav 46, Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMikdash, Gedola Ma'od, Umuzhar Malayim Liro Misha Shochin Bohem. We have to fear he who dwells there. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He quotes the Psukim. And he says, V'lo Beis HaMikdash Bovad, Ela Kol Mokom HaMikudosh U'Beis HaMedrash Nikram Mikdash Ma'at. And he quotes that Gemara. And the Chasu Apostle in the third line, the Mitzvah Zu Lira Min HaMikdash Noed B'Beis HaKnesses U'Beis HaMedrash Mid De'Oraisa. The Chai Adam says clearly, the mitzvah to have proper reverence and awe in a shul, and that's I'm talking about this tonight because we're not able to go into our shuls right now, but we should understand what our shuls are, learn about a proper behavior in a shul. It says, the Chai Adam writes, so mitzvah zu liram and a mikdash noeg beis haknesa beis hamidu raisa. He quotes that Yireyim and others. And lochen also daber medvar betalin, he can't talk about nonsense in a shul. Again, we're talking about the sanctuary. Ve'ein mahachashen and cheshbonus el shal mitzvah, shouldn't do business calculations except if it's for mitzvah. And kupa shal tzok, you counting out the money for stock or something like that. And certainly, also Shom Zchok, Kalos Rosh, and so on. So that's the strong statement of Chayavim. Kitzur Shon Aruch says the same thing in Simeon Gimel Sif Aleph in 47. Basically, the same idea. You have to, and he writes the ads in the second to last line there. V'noeg m'kovet l'chabdu l'rotzom. Make sure they're about covered different places. Clean them up. Never mind spraying just because we have a worry about disease. Make sure the shul is clean. It looks attractive. It looks nice, right? Clean it and fix the carpets and so on and make it look nice. Okay, and then it would light candles. We don't light candles. We turn on electric lights and so on. Then he mentioned about kissing children would come back to. Now, it's interesting. A couple of these authorities quoted the Gemara in Yevamos. Vavim and Aleph going over to Vavim and Beis where the Gemara says, in effect, lo mish, we're not, just like the pasuk that we showed earlier, the psukim in, we were there again. The psukim in Kedoshim and in Bahar, the identical pasuk, so it's 30 and 31. Shabsosai tishmor mikdoshi tiro'u. So you look back over there, that doesn't matter. You look back over there, there's a comparison between Shabbos and the Mikdosh, both 30 and 31. Both are mentioned in the pasuk. So the Gemara makes an equation, and just like you don't have to fear Shabbos, but rather Misha Hizrael Shabbos. So af mora amura mikdosh, lo mikdosh atomis yarla, Misha Hizrael mikdosh. It's not the matter of fearing and having reverence to the Mikdosh, but he who is dwelling there, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you know, enter into a shul to Beis HaMikdash, rather. You're not allowed to go on the Harabais. You're not allowed to go on the Harabais with your stick and with your shoes. You know, there's a whole question whether you're allowed to go on the Harabais today. I don't go into that problem now, but even those who do, but you have to take off your shoes. There are certain rules. So you have the rules apply. Below Yasel Kapandri or Kapandari. The Beis HaMikdash is a shortcut to get from point A to point B and so on. So in any event, Mashmir and Bershabas, so that applies and it applies forever. So the that's the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. I just printed. We'll come back to that point in a second. Keep that Gemara in the back of your head. As far as what you're not allowed to do in shul, some specifics. So the Mishnah says in Megillah, Chof Chesam and Aleph, and this is talking about a Beis HaMikdash Shechorev. This Beis HaKnesses Shechorev, a shul which has been knocked down. So still, the place has Kedusha. But Odom of Yehuda, this is Chof Chesam and Aleph, Mishnah Megillah. Okay, but Odom Yehuda, Beis HaKnesses Shechorev, ain't maspidim besocho, ain't mafshil besocho chavolim, different things with strings, the rope and tying things, business job. Ain't porcelain besocho, metzudos, put nets there, ain't sholchan agago peris, you'll use it to dry your fruits over there, ain't osin oso kapandaria, not a shortcut, shenemar vashimos mit the sheikhim, kedushosan af kashen shomin. They still have some kedusha, even if they've been destroyed. Okay, and Rashi says all types of work, you shouldn't do it in that place, even after it's been destroyed. And at the Pharisee Shul says, on that Mishnah, it's Megillah, Paragimel, Mishnah Gimel, Os Yodi, Rashi Charev, Afagav Shecharev. This is true even after it's been destroyed. It's like Havachomer when it's not destroyed. Okay, now, once the building is down, to keep the pieces, like you mentioned before, I don't think that's a problem, but you should treat them with something special. Don't, maybe put them, this was from the Galastok Shul, whatever shul you said, keep it in a nice place that this is in the shul that gives it covered.
Now, the I Rambam, use it for the Sfarim, for like bookends. For
yeah, right,
bookends.
Okay.
I use it for bookends on the Sfarim.
This is on the Sanctified, yep. The Rambam, interestingly enough, right. says that in the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash location lasts forever, even applies today when there's no Beis HaMikdash today. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Perk Vav, Beis Mechir, Alachat Tezayin. He says, you know why? Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, has eternal Kedusha, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Because I would say today, what's the problem going up on the Har Bayis? There's a mosque there now. What are we kids? No Beis HaMikdash. No, the Rambam says it still has Kedusha. Why? Because the Kedusha, second line of 54, this is Perk Vav, Beis Mechir, Alachat Tezayin. The Kedushas HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Yipnei HaShchina, Ushchina Eina Betela. The Shechina never expires. It's always there. It still has its Kedusha. That's the position of the Rambam. Well, if that's the case, one can make the same argument about a shul, because a shul is also a place of the Shechina. For example, the Gemara says in Brachos Vav Mer Aleph, the Pasuk says until in Pei Beis Pasuk Aleph, it's a Shir Shel Yom of Tuesday. Mizmor La'asa Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas Kel. Kadosh Baruch Hu stands in the meeting place of a Kadosh Baruch, of his meeting place. The Gemara says in Brachos Vav Mer Aleph, Amar Ravin Bar Ravada 56, Amar Yitzchak, Minayin Shek Kadosh Baruch Hu Motzli B'Vei Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found in a shul. Because what's Adas Kel? Rashi says, Beis Moed Shalom. It's his meeting place. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, dwells in every shul. Another pasuk, okay, Yeshaya complains, Yeshaya Novi complains, Perak Nun Pasuk Beis. Madua Basi Vein Ish, Karasi Vein One. HaKatzor Katzor Yadim, he produced, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, how come I came? Nobody's here. I'm calling out. Nobody's around. Where is everybody? There's no minion in the shul. So the Gemara Brachos Vav Amud Bei says 59 Amar Yochanan B'Rashah Shekadosh Baruch Hu Bav Beis Haknesu Lo Motzah Ba'Asara Miyaru Koes. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to you, there's no minion there. You know, it's time to start diving. No minion there. Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. This is his place. This is his place. I think I mentioned in the past. I mentioned this in other shiurim, but it struck me. Okay, and I'm guilty of myself for sure. But we once had this football player. Forgot his name, but he was a Super Bowl star. He played for the Cowboys, for the Packers, and he became religious. And he spoke once in the high school, in the Yeshiva High School, and he talked about he played for the Cowboys. Had a coach, Jimmy Johnson, okay, and he was a very tough coach. But this man told us, if we had a team meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, you did not dare show up for that meeting 1 minute later than 10 to 8. Believe me.
What did this last week?
What?
This last week.
I mentioned
last
week.
This last week.
Last week. You didn't dare. I mean, you just didn't dare. You, right? So that Kadosh Baruch Hu complains. You know, I'm here and nobody else is here. But what do you see for this, our purpose this evening? Kadosh Baruch Hu's house is the shul. His place is there. Okay? And it's interesting because now if you look in the Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, 61, the Rambam writes, they still have some sanctity to the place. Even if they've been destroyed, they still have some sanctity to the place. And that's even if they've been destroyed. And that's why some hold that the Rambam Taka holds, and that's Rav Soloveitchik, I printed in 62 from Rav Rechman's Rishima Shiurim from Rav Soloveitchik on Yevamos, on Vamad Beis, and not Sugi and Yevamos that we mentioned before. I told you to keep it in the back of your head where it says we don't fear the place, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that based on the Rambam seems to indicate that the Shul Kedusha is parallel, like we said before, from Moshe Feinstein. Not that it's no mitzvah, but there is a mitzvah, and it has the Kedusha that's parallel to the Kedusha of the of the Mikdash and so on, and therefore the Rav posited that we have to try and understand. So how come there seem to be certain differences? He goes the whole thing. The time doesn't permit us to read the whole thing, but he says that there's certainly Hashuras Hashchina. First, he posits against some of the sources that we have that both the Knesios and both the Medrash all have kedusha to it. And we're not allowed to destroy some of the sources we mentioned, and he thinks that Rambam does know. Look at the end of the first paragraph. It's on the next page, towards the end of that paragraph. He writes, "The Ramban holds that it's only a Hechsher Mitzvah." Right, that doesn't have any kedusha. It's just hooked to the mitzvah, so like a lulu. But he says, "Ve'ilu harambam." The end of the first paragraph. "Ve'ilu harambam svirulei sheyesh bebeis hakneses chalos kedusha midoraisa." The Rav held that according to the Rambam, a shul has kedusha doraisa. Gam be'etzem binyan, even the building itself, and so on. Me'ein kedushas beis hamikdash should be Yerushalayim. And the second paragraph, he quotes the Shekhinah is present there. He quotes some of those Gemaras I just mentioned, right? The Shekhinah is present there. On the other hand, he concludes that there are different levels of Kedusha. It's not quite the same level of the Beis HaMikdash. You look at the last paragraph there, that's source 62. If he's talking, just shonet tokef Shona tokef Hashem Shchina Beis Hakness Beis Hamikdash. It's not as powerful. Beis Hamikdash is Beis Hashem Hashchina Shor B'chol Tokva. It's the full Shchina is there with all its strength. Beis Hakness says it's a lower type of tokef. But okay. But nevertheless, it's a doraisa. Now, just to look at some specifics about how to treat a shul. So we mentioned.
Can I ask you? Can I interrupt you, Rabbi? So did the Rav answer? Is it because of the shul? Is it because of the shchina? Or is it both? Like, what?
No, he seems to say, according to the Rambam, the shul has its own kedusha. Ultimately, it's because of the shchina, but it's not simply because we daven there. It has kedusha as a structure, as a house of Kadosh Baruch Hu, not quite on the same level as the Beis Hamikdash. That's the concluding paragraph, but it does have its mikdash and it has eternal kedusha. That's why there's some kedusha even though it's been destroyed.
Would that align up with saying that it's a mitzvah also to build a shul? I mean, when the Rambam
I don't know. The Rav didn't say it. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs did not mention that. Doesn't mean he doesn't hold that. I don't know. The Urayim said it, and right. The Yishmag said it. The Haredim said it. The Rambam didn't mention it, so I don't know. According to this, perhaps it would be. Just to move to just some of the details.
Right. Do you think that according to this mahalach that we're taking, that means that the basic Knesset and the basic Medrash have the same level of Kedusha?
So that's
not the same level of Kedusha because that's the Gemara Megillah, but at least that the way right. in which we treat them should be the same.
So the other, certainly not less. In fact, we're not going to get to it tonight. That's a different shiur. The basic Medrash in some sense has a certain sense a higher Kedusha than the Shul. But it's at least the same. Yes, certainly not lower. Okay, there are other Gemaras that indicate that the Beis HaMedrash, from some perspective, are higher conditions. It's a good question. But yeah, all these dinim apply. Again, it gives us insight to what a shul is supposed to be. So one of them is, you're not allowed to use it. The fact that the Gemara says in Megillah Chav Zayin, Beis 63, Sholo Tomidus of Elezim and Shemua, but Meher Rech to Yomim, Omer Lehem, Yomai Lo Asisi, Kapadai Yolam Beis HaKnesset. I never use the shul as a shortcut, Rashi says in 64, Mekatzer Lucho Derech Beis HaKnesset. Guys got to get from one side to the other, so he cuts through the shul as a shortcut. You're not supposed to do that. Okay, and the Rambam passed in this way. Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yud Alachaches Test in Yud 65. If you had two doors to the shul or to the Beis Medrash, you shouldn't use it as shortcut to one side to the other. And Alachat Test, he writes, Misha Tzorach Likonos Beis Hakneses. If you've got to go into shul to get somebody to deliver a message and so on, don't just walk in. Go in Yikra Maat. Learn something for a minute or two. Oh, Yomar Shmuel, say some Dvar Torah or something, and then call your friend, because you don't go into shul just for your personal needs. And if you can't learn anything, you don't know how to learn, ask a kid there, somebody, to tell you over a pasuk, say something. Oh, Yishema'at, just sit there for a few minutes. Right? Asher Yosher Yisrael, he says, sit in the shul. You don't just run to you. Go to a shul, sit down for a minute. Say a pasuk for a second. Of course, in Aloch Yudi, right, if you went into shul and daven, and then you want to go out the other door because that's easier for you, that's okay. These didn't appear as well in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Sim Kuf, Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph. Right? It says basically the same thing. You shouldn't use the shul as a shortcut. And if a person has to go into shul from time to time for something else, then sit there for a minute, right? And as we says the next page also, and Sif Hey, right? I had two doors. So stop for a minute, sit down, say a pasuk, okay? How long should you stay in the shul? It's a sheer shnei psachim, which a different Shulchan Aruch, Simtzadi Siv Bei 67, says ches tochim, as long as time takes to walk eight steps. Okay, a couple of seconds, doesn't be that long. Ruch HaShulchan summarizes in Sim Kuf Nun Aleph Ches, Enos HaKapandaria, you don't make it a Kapandaria, you make it a shortcut. As we mentioned, if you have to go in, sit down and say something or whatever. He says towards the end, but we have to bear in mind, he says, "Venirli the dafka beis haknesses atzmo, avalavo derech chotzer beis haknesses katzer derech mutter." He says, "You want to cut through the hallway or something else, or the outside, the court, the grass, or whatever? That would seem to be okay." Okay, the Mogen Avraham writes in the Cotton Vav there, 69. He says, "You shouldn't really even enter the shul except to do a mitzvah. That's only no reason to go into a shul. You have no reason to go in other than tzvar mitzvah." Okay. Then the Prima Gadon discusses what if I want to use a shortcut because I'm running to do a different mitzvah. He seems to allow that in the Eish Avram in Sim Kuf Nun Aleph Sim Katan Vav. The Mishra Brewer in Sim Katan Chaf Aleph wonders about that. Okay, but he says actually when you come in one door, you should go out the other door after it's over. Okay, because of a pasuk. Actually, I think it's the Haftarah for this week for Parsha Chodesh. That when they came in, when they came to the Beis Hamikdash through one door, they went out to the other door. And that's the pasuk. He quotes, "Bo Amaritz and Hashem Ma'adim Habo Derech Shar Tzofon Ishtachol Yotzer Derech Shar Negev." check me if I'm right. It just dawned on me. I think that's the Haftar of Parsha the Chodesh, which we'll have to read B'Yechidus again this Shabbos. But I think that's the Pasuk. So he's supposed to go out the other way. It's also a sense of covet. In the Bir Halacha, he says that, again, you shouldn't go in unless it's, you'd spend a few moments there. But if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, perhaps we suspend this. Also, in general, very important, 73. The Gemara in Megillah, Chav Ches Melav Kovar Arbeis, Ton Rabbanon. It's not a place for lightheaded behavior. Shouldn't eat or drink in the shul. Other thing, time. Don't goof around. Don't use it as a hangout. When I hang around in shul, don't hang around. Don't use it as a place to. That I got to duck into because it's too hot outside in the shul. Got good air in the shul. Walk in and sit in the shul. Or it's raining. I want to come inside and get out of the rain. That's not what you're supposed to do in a shul. All that is kalas rosh. And you're not allowed to even have a hesped in shul unless it's when I'm gadol and so on. Rashi says, Naosa means, the filled in the Rashi's there in 74, 75. Okay, you don't eat in the shul, you don't dye yourself up, dress up in the shul, use it as a dressing room, or hanging out, and so on. The Rambam Paskin says, Perkin of Halacha Vav 76, Bote, Knesis, or Bote, Medrash, A, Norgan, Kalas Rosh, Kon Schok, Behito, Vasicha, Betela, Ben Ochoman, Ben Shosma, and Naosa, all these things, okay, Ben Metalan, Ben, Ben Niklasman, Becham, etc. He Paskin like this Gemara, as does the Shulchan Aruch, in Sim Kuchnon, Aleph, Sifalov, all of these things. Not to do business. These are all things in shul. And I stress again, this is not talking during davening time. That's for shteitzah, of course. We're not talking about during davening. It's any other time. You're not supposed to do it. Now, the Magen Avraham discusses, based on the Shulchan Aruch, says that in the second line of 77, there, Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Aleph, Tamidei Chacham and Tamidim Mutam Lechav Lishus Bahem. The Tamidei Chacham and the Tamidim can't eat and drink in the shul. The Magen Avraham says they're allowed to eat in the shul because they're learning, so they're going to get up and go outside and go somewhere else. They waste too much time. Okay, they'll learn, lose time for their learning. Okay, but those who learn, it's not a matter of stam and talmud chacham. It's all the people that Magen Avraham says in Cotton Bays. The people are learning there. Okay, they shouldn't waste time and having to go outside to eat and drink. Then it's mutter. In Sivkot and Gimel, he mentions, like I mentioned before, the last line of 78, he mentions. He didn't even give musar in the shul. He didn't talk about inyani tshuva in the shul, just davening. That's what the place was set aside for. The Mishnah Berurah goes through this at length. He says, Kalas Rosh, and Sivkot Aleph, why is it din? Came Nikroim Mikdash Ma'at. This is like a Mikdash Ma'at. And with Mikdash Ksiv Es Mikdashi Tiro, right? Shehe Moro Shal Shokhin Bo. Same thing with the shul as well. Okay, and it's in Cotton Gimel, Sicha Betele says, even Sicha Schulen, it's needs for Parnosa, other things you talk about outside, walk outside and talk about these things. Certainly not Sicha Betele, shouldn't talk about it all. And he says, listen to this, over Zohar HaKadosh and our Sedra, Parsha Yakel, Hiflig Ma'od Begod Alavon Azeh. Okay, it's a terrible sin. And he says, certainly we shouldn't talk about Lashon Hara. And now here the Mishnah Berurah's Chafetz Chaim side comes out. Certainly shouldn't sit in the shul and talk Lashon Hara in the shul. How many are guilty of that? Rechilas, machlokas, uptotos, oyvei. Right, the arguments and fights, that's not the biggest fights we have in the shul. It's like, unfortunately, that's supposed to avoid in the shul. Because not only are they big avonos by themselves, what you're doing in this holy place is terrible. Okay, and he says that it leads other people to do the wrong thing. And again, you can read through that Mishnah Berurah because it's really a powerful, powerful statement. Okay, and sometimes you have a little conversation which you don't think is a bad thing. Then it escalates. This one disagrees. Then the next thing you know, the people are screaming at each other. Again, we've all seen this from time to time, unfortunately, both in shul and outside of shul. Okay, and he said this is an avon chomor, and it's mevazes somebody else in the shul. All this stuff is people fight each other, hit each other. All of this started, he said, from the first person. Who said, I've just got to say a quick thing to somebody, right? We can have everything, chad gadja, you know, one thing leads to another. And therefore, it should be a place just of Torah and Tefillah. Now, I mentioned before, in Simkuf Nanala Sivdalad, 80, and we'll move to finish up, the Mechaber writes, Tzorech Pesach Neses Muto Lecha Velishon Besocho. If you're doing something and for the need of the shul, and the guy's got to eat there because he's working there, or it's some other purpose, then it's okay. Or, for example, he mentions, he used to have the minhag, not too widespread today, I don't think, but people used to sleep in the shul in Yom Kippur at night. They stayed in the shul all night long. They said till until very late and whatever else, Shir Yichud, and then till him, and then people would sleep in the shul. That's okay. That's considered a Tzorech Mitzvah. We get together for La'abar Hashanah, right? They would, in the olden days, for the leap year. The Magen Avraham wonders, what about other Sudas Mitzvahs? right? What about a Sudas Mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham seems to be Mekel and Simkot and Hay, okay? But the question is, what about other Sudas Mitzvahs? There are Chashulchan. Can you have a bris in a shul? Not the bris, but the suda, or pidyon ben, and so on. And he says, depends what exactly you do there. But he says, we turn to the back of the page. He says that it's not right to have like a big meal in the shul. People are going to be fooling around and chatting and so on. So he says, so this mismila pidyon ben, a chas and a usr. And that's even a question, not for tonight. Can you even have the ceremony of a wedding in a shul? Many times people have the ceremony in a shul. Okay, not about so wild, because I'm so forth was not wild about that. That's a different reason, because that was copying the practice of the non-Jews who would use the church as the site for the wedding. But anyway, that's another point. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Cotton Chof 83, Mikom Mokom Hanogim Lahoke Lasso Suda Siyam Hashas. Oh, it's a Siyam Hashas, something like that. So he tends to be lenient about that. Just to give you an astounding picture of what the shul is supposed to be exclusively. 84, look at that, we alluded to it before, the Ramor Paskin and Simon Sari Ches of Orachayim Sif Aleph, the Ramor writes, the Osir La'odom L'Nashek Bonav Aktanem Beis HaKnesses. You shouldn't even kiss your kids in shul. That's Ramor writes. Why? K'dei likboa belibo she'ein ava ke'avas ha'mokom. There's no love like the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Kiss your kids outside, kiss your kids at home as often as you can. But inside the shul, this is the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's quite
so what's the Isser?
He's just saying because it makes it look like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my children, you know. No, here I'm focusing only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost cheapening.
No right? Isser, though.
What's that?
There's no specific Isser. There's no specific Isser, though. Like he...
He says it's taken away from the Kedusha of the place. That's what you have to say, that somehow it's a pagam in the Kedusha of the place. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, it's a cotton gimel, uses as an opportunity to point out that it's probably, depending on the age of the child, not such a good idea to bring the children into the shul to begin with. He writes, B'shaloh kore tagra ala mavim yilodin v'saknes es ketanim sh'adayin lo higir l'chinuch. Because what happens? You bring little kids into shul. Okay, and again, this was written 100 years ago, but still obviously the case. The kids goof around, they joke around, they fool around, they jump up and down in shul, and they're not on purpose, they don't know any better, but it's mechal and kedush in place. They disturb other people who are trying to daven. Okay, and so the problem is when they grow older, they won't recognize that there's a way to behave in a shul. If you don't tell them when they're young that they have to behave a certain way in shul, then they'll grow up thinking, yeah, okay, well, I always jump around, talk to my friends, and that's what he says. He said, "Gam ki as kinal yisum imin hagam arash and nischan chubil dusam lishtagal avazos kedushas be act like a crazy person in shul." Okay, now of course, when the kid's old enough, you bring him to shul and you explain to him how you have to behave. Sit be'aim of a year, the parents should provide a good example and so on. Sit in one place, answer amen, kaddish and kedusha, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's something that's the appropriate thing. We have to be careful. The one last thing I wanted to mention, this has to do with shuls, at least outside Eretz Yisrael. They talk about using the hallway and the upstairs room and the downstairs room. Many shuls have a social hall and so on. So there, or even the shul itself, sometimes the shul is just one big room, especially smaller shuls, right? It says, Batei Knesus, the Gemara says in Megillah, Chaf Chesam Beis, yeah. They were built on understanding they could be used for other purposes. Okay, so therefore, the Shohar Paskin, the Simkuf Nun Aleph, Sifir Aleph, 88, in Mishas Binyan, Besar Knesses, Histo, Alab Lishtamish, when they built the shul, they built in a condition understood. There's going to be a social hall, we have to have events here, and so on, and we're going to set up our kiddushes, and so on and so forth. And that's mutter. Okay, but some say that that's only mutter after no longer used it as a shul. Others disagree. Others say that it's even in, even when they use the shul, and that's the common practice. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Hey of Simkuf Nun Aleph 89, the Yesh L'Smola Amasha Achshar Mekila Daber Bisak Tzvei Smedj Achat Tfila Kama Dvam Shulchol. What do we do? He says, and he lived in a Vardak, was saying by him, maybe people are careful not to talk during davening, halavai. But once davening is over, everybody's saying good Shabbos, and schmoozing around, and they hang around inside the sanctuary, I'm talking about, for the next 15 minutes, talking, and the Aruch HaShulchan wonders, why is that allowed? Go outside and talk in the hallway. Talk outdoors. While we talk after the davening is over, weekday things and business and other things like that. And why do we do it? He says, and maybe we hold like the Ramban that it was only for the purpose of tefillah. So, but he says, really, it's not right. It's not right. It's kalas rosh, and you know, we shouldn't do those things inside the shul. And for that, the tanai doesn't help. The tanai helps for things that you need for the shul to eat and drink or make a kiddush or something like that. The bir halacha, and this will finish in source 90, says in Sefer Aleph, Avo b'yeshuvo. He says he goes through that sugya a little bit that it was built on condition. He says a different shitas. Does that mean it's different when it's only after it's destroyed, then it's still standing? So we still wear makel when it's standing. But and this is what I finish with. Look at the last couple of lines of 90. Mikom makom, lekalus rosh mamish. But I don't care what tanai you had when you built the shul. Mamish kalus rosh, jocularity, levity, can go and schok or fooling around, hitul nonsense. That's pshitah all money. I don't care what tanai you made. That doesn't help. You can never use a shul for that kind of a thing. So this is just an overview of some of the dinim beis hakness. I said at the outset, we're right now nebach deprived that we're not able to go into our shuls and daven. So that's why I thought it'd be a worthwhile thing to learn about a shul. If we can't be in the shul, let's learn about the shul and think about what a shul is supposed to be. We got a taste here of the importance of the kedusha of the shul and the perhaps a mitzvah, perhaps even on a deraisa level, a me'ain of the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, which we don't necessarily think about when we're in shul. So now that we're not in shul, we'll think about those things and hopefully we'll be able to be back in our shuls as quickly as possible, and we'll all have the proper cover and the proper yira and mora for a shul, and we'll treat our shuls properly, and I'll become the mishmar until the Beis HaMikdash built the Haramino. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I wish everybody a good and Shabbos. Just wanted to mention that on Sunday night, at this very same address, I have yard site to Sunday night and Monday. After my father, Hoshom, is first to yard site, 27th of Adar. So I'll be giving a shiur at 8 o'clock on Sunday evening. It's on the list. The topic is, my father's an English professor. So I'm talking, the topic is Shakespeare, Shylock, and a Shiloh in Besdin, based on an essay from Rav Zevin. So anyone who's interested in joining, Sunday night, Bez Hashem, at 8 o'clock. I wish everybody a good Shabbos, and everyone Shabbos for Shlomo.